Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. Base by Base is now on YouTube too, at Base by Base, where every episode gets a video with chapters and the full description. Come subscribe.
Glad to be here, as always.
Okay, so let's unpack a scenario that, while it might sound like science fiction, but it is happening right now. Picture this. You're sitting at your computer.
Right.
And you type just one sentence into a prompt.
Just one.
Right. You ask for a complex genomic analysis. Suddenly, the software autonomously selects the right bioinformatics tools, it configures them, and starts running the pipeline. But along the way, it hits an unexpected error.
Which is pretty standard for bioinformatics.
Exactly. But instead of crashing and waiting for you to debug it, the software diagnoses the error, fixes it entirely on its own, and hands you a perfectly ranked list of genetic variants.
It sounds incredible. But the thing is, the question we are grappling with today is not whether this autonomous workflow actually works. Yeah. I mean, it does. The terrifying and honestly fascinating question is, who checks it?
Right. We are taking a deep dive into the concept of, you know, agentic genomics. Mm-hmm. And to really wrap our heads around this, I want to propose an analogy for you, the listener. Is this essentially like hiring an incredibly fast, eager intern who does a week's worth of analysis in an hour?
Yes.
But, you know, you now have to check every single line of their work because they might confidently invent data just to please you.
I mean, that analogy is perfect. And we are going to rely on that eager intern concept a lot in this deep dive to understand why that intern is both so wildly useful and, well, so inherently dangerous. Mm-hmm. We need to look at the strict four conditions that make an AI an agent rather than just a tool.
Okay, laying them out.
So number one is autonomy during execution. The system isn't just running a script. It is actively making navigation decisions on the fly.
So it's steering the ship, not just powering the engine.
Precisely. Number two is that it uses validated operations. This intern is pulling from curated, structured scale libraries. It's essentially making API calls to establish tools. It is not just, you know, hallucinating Python code from scratch and hoping the math works out.
Oh, I see. That makes sense.
Right. Then condition three is iterative refinement. It evaluates intermediate results and modifies its approach. If it hits a wall, it pulls the traceback error, feeds that data back into its own reasoning engine, and tries a new route.
Like diagnosing its own errors.
Exactly. And condition four is natural language mediation. You don't need to write a complex command line script. You just give it an instruction in plain English.
But wait, if I'm just typing English into a prompt and it's generating a script, how is that different from me asking a chatbot to write a script? And then I just paste it into my terminal.
Well, what you're describing is often called vibe coding.
Vibe coding?
Yeah, relying on a chatbot to spit out a block of code that you then manually execute. That is explicitly excluded here. We are also excluding retrieval copilots that just summarize literature. The defining difference is active, autonomous, runtime decision making.
Okay, so how do we actually prove a system has that active decision making? Because, I mean, everyone claims their software is AI powered right now.
The litmus test is something called the perturbation test. You feed the system a corrupted intermediate result. Say, a tool returns a totally anomalous output file halfway through the run.
Just garbage data.
Exactly. A true agent will read that error, alter its strategy to recover, and try to fix it. If the system just crashes, or worse, plows ahead unchanged, it's not an agent. It's just a traditional pipeline with a chat front end.
Which means we can also safely exclude workflow managers, Nextflow, SnakeMake, and Galaxy, right?
Yes, they're fantastic tools, but they execute fixed human-made workflows.
Right.
Oh, and AutoML with its predefined search spaces is out too. An agent builds the track as it drives.
Okay, that distinction is crucial. So now that we have those guardrails, we should properly introduce the source material for this deep dive. It's a paper titled Agentic Genomics, From Pipeline Automation to Autonomous Validation, published in Cell Genomics in August 2026.
And the authors are Manuel Corpus from Westminster in London, Heiner Guillo from UTEC in Lima, and Segun Fatumo from the LSHTM Uganda unit in Entebbe and Queen Mary in London.
But we need to give a disclaimer right up front about this paper.
Yes, absolutely. We need to warn you early on. This paper is a framework, not an experiment.
Right.
You'll hear us discuss tables from the paper, but it is critical to understand that these are qualitative classifications. They are not actual measurements or benchmarks.
Even as a framework, though, the perspective is incredibly powerful, particularly when you look at where the authors are writing from. It's not just London, but Peru and Uganda. They frame this around the concept of equity as engineering.
Yeah, if you are working in an environment where dedicated bioinformatics support is scarce, this technology reads very differently. Having an autonomous system is a structural bridge over a massive resource gap.
But that bridge comes with a toll, which brings us to the central thesis of the paper.
The core thesis is this. The bottleneck in computational biology has moved from constructing the analysis, which is production, to evaluating it, which is judgment.
Production is democratized, judgment is not.
Exactly.
Let's bring that to life with the Box 1 example from the paper. They call it the Trio Exome example. Imagine you ask our eager intern to identify variants from a Trio Exome dataset. The agent pieces together the pipeline.
Right. It selects FastBurp, BWAMM2, JDK haplotype caller, deep variant, and Sensin PF with ClinVar.
Yeah. And here is where the magic moment happens in the example. Again, this is qualitative, no numbers. But during the alignment step, BWAMM2 flags an incompatible index format, a broken index.
A traditional pipeline just halts there and waits for a human.
Mm-hmm.
But the agent catches the error and rebuilds the broken index completely unaided.
Yeah,
but remind the listener, this means you still need the expertise to know if the rebuilt index actually makes biological sense.
So who is actually building these agents right now? Let's look at the four emerging systems, the paper surveys.
And it's important to note they are complements, not competitors. First is Celatria from AstraZeneca. It constrains single-cell analysis to a highly reproducible pipeline.
Then there is AutoBA. Its whole focus is diagnosing and repairing its own code when it hits errors.
Right. Then we have BioCopilot. This one uses multiple agents that self-reflect and check each other's logic.
And finally, ClawBio, which relies on community-tested, curated skills.
So we arrive at the heart of the paper, the validation bottleneck. High throughput, low validation science. AI generates results faster than human experts can verify them.
And we have to tell the story of the ClawBio incident to illustrate this. It's wild. An auditor fed a pharmacogenomic skill an empty, malformed genotype file, just completely empty.
Right, no data at all.
And instead of crashing, the system silently returned an all normal result, including recommended dosages for 51 drugs.
It's terrifying. 51 drugs.
From a blank file, how is that even possible?
The current release now halts with an explicit format error. So the community audit successfully turned a dangerous silent failure into a loud, safe one. But it shows the risk.
This points to what they call the expertise paradox, and the GPT-4 trial data they bring in is striking.
Yes, in a trial of GPT-4 augmented diagnostic reasoning, the score was exactly 76 versus 74%, p0.60.
No significant gain.
None. There was no significant gain, even though the model alone outscored physicians. We just lack the judgment to utilize the production.
To manage this, the paper proposes validation tiers: research, benchmarked, and clinical. But looking at table 3, all four current systems are only at research grade.
Exactly. And the paper warns about circular benchmark tuning. If developers constantly tweak tools to score well on reference data sets, the benchmark loses its value.
And there's a massive equity failure built into this too. If you ask an unconstrained agent to run a polygenic risk score, it automatically defaults to European ancestry models.
Because that data is the most abundant. Unless equity is engineered into the system as a hard constraint, we will just automate disparities.
This all builds to the biggest nightmare scenario for a biologist. It's not when the code breaks.
No. It's when the code runs perfectly, but the science is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Silent failures, the defining risk.
Right.
The paper gives examples, like an agent silently mixing GRC37 and GRCH38 genomic coordinates that pass format checks.
Oh man, that's a disaster.
Or reads being dropped with no coverage flag.
So how do we fix that? The authors argue fiercely for building standards, not avoiding the tools. We need deterministic replay so every AI decision is logged and auditable.
We really do.
Now, before we wrap up, we need to make a plain aside to you, the listener. We need to disclose that this deep dive was made exactly the way the paper described.
Yes. An AI agent read the paper, wrote the summary and the song, made the chapters, and ran the factual audit in a pipeline built specifically for this show.
Hmm.
It's always disclosed as AI produced and human curated.
But we also experienced the paper's own failure modes. During production, a caption renderer silently dropped text past three lines.
Wow.
Yeah, And after a change of model provider, a cache keyed on the prompt kept serving the old provider's answers, and they looked correct. At one point, an episode's audio was replaced without regenerating its transcript.
Which is a huge problem.
They drifted 67 seconds apart, and it went out that way.
But we also saw what held up. The quality control gate refused to publish an episode. It flagged two claims that overstated the paper and required a human to decide. A human decided.
Same failure modes, different stakes. A podcast is not a clinical report. One project, not evidence.
Well said. Which brings us to the paper's five principles for responsible adoption. One, domain expertise remains the irreducible requirement. Two, validation must be proportional to consequence. Three, transparency is non-negotiable. Four, skills must be testable by design. And five, equity must be engineered, not declared.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
I gave you one sentence, no more than a line. It picked all the tools and it never asked mine. It hit a bad index, then patched its own break and handed me answers no human couldn't make. So handed a file with no data at all, malformed and empty, no reads to recall. If nothing goes wrong and it never once stalls, then no one is checking, no one at all. Crashes, that's the cruelest part. It fails in a shape that looks clean from the start. Two genome builds mixed and the numbers all slide. It passes each check with the meaning gone inside. The bottleneck moved and it landed on us. We make it in minutes, we read it for weeks. It leans on whatever data it learned, then hands the same score to whoever it means. Part